What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
Listener stories.
Woohoo! One of our favorite days of the month is when we get to do listener stories. I love reading these stories. You guys make me laugh. You make me cry sometimes.
I know.
It's just so fun connecting with you guys. So
it's like a little window into our listeners. It's like getting to know you guys on a more personal level, which we obviously don't get really a chance to do. So
yeah, we love it. And if you're new and you don't know what we're talking about, or want to submit your own listener story and don't know how, you can do so on our website, inhumanpodcast.com, and just click on listener stories. Or if you want to just send us an email, you can do so at inhumanmonsterpod@gmail.com.
Yep. Easy
peasy. And if you want a little extra for this episode, join our Patreon and you can see us.
Because we
are sharing the video of this. So if you want a little bit extra, head over there. We always have our Patreon linked in our show notes, so go check that out. There's bonus episodes every month, plus video for our listener stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of backlog stuff, so you have lots to catch up on if you want to try
it out. But with that, let's get into our first story today, which is from Karen. Hi, Karen.
Girl.
Not sure if you're still asking for these. I'm way behind and honestly loving it. I love binging your podcast while cleaning, and I'm all caught up on everything else. So knowing I'm only on Christmas 2021 and have hundreds of episodes still makes me so happy.
I can relate to that. I feel like that with podcasts a lot.
I can too. And the fact that like somebody thinks that about our podcast, I'm like,
in 2021.
That means so much. Like, you have no clue how much that means.
I know it does.
But I just listened to your second listener stories episode and decided to send in my two short ones, though they're both related. My grandfather died in July 2000 when I was 12. I'm so sorry. He was 1 month shy of his 80th birthday. Oh. That winter, my aunt by marriage, my cousin's mother, was living in the house his father built, which was just down the road from the family cemetery he was buried in, next to his parents. She put a wreath on his grave for Christmas. This is totally a side note and so morbid of me, but I like tell Robert that if I die before him, he has to put Christmas decorations on my grave because I love Christmas and Christmas decorations. And I've told him that, and he's like, don't say that. I'm like, yeah, but just in case I have to say it.
Yeah.
So I love that.
I should tell Matt that because I've never told him that. Like, decorate my grave.
Yeah, you should. He'll probably be like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
Yeah,
he definitely will be.
But that's really nice that she put a wreath on his grave for Christmas.
Yeah, we do that with my grandmother. We like decorate, or somebody delegates it, and you know, we take turns decorating her grave. Yeah.
I think that's really special.
Yeah.
Christmas passed and she kept forgetting to go take down the wreath. If you turn right out of the driveway, you head toward the closest major city. If you turn left, you drive by the cemetery. Well, it was February, and one night she was watching TV late at night, and all of a sudden she heard knocking coming from upstairs in the empty house. Three distinct knocks. The next night, around the same time, the knocking came again, and then the next night, three distinct knocks. That was it. Oh, gosh, this is going to scare me, isn't it? On the third night, she said, fine, I'll go take the wreath down. She did, and she never heard the knocking again. So he was just like, hello.
February, get it together.
Yeah, like, let's wrap up Christmas. That's so funny.
That's funny.
She moved out eventually, and other family members moved in, but no one has mentioned any other strange occurrences happening in the house. But that next summer, I don't remember how old I was. I believe I was 13. I was visiting my grandmother in the house she shared with my grandfather for over 40 years, and my cousin was there as well. I went upstairs to use the bathroom, and while I'm fairly certain I did, after the fact, I couldn't remember if I had closed and made sure the bathroom door latched. But I'm sitting there doing my thing, and the door starts to swing open, maybe about 10 inches. Graham, I called. The door closed a few inches, but no answer. After a moment, which felt like an eternity when you're stuck on the toilet, the door started to swing open again. "Rachel," I called. The door swung halfway closed again. A moment later, it started to swing open again. "Grandpa?" The door slammed shut.
Oh.
I was done. I don't even think I washed my hands. I waited until I was downstairs. That would have been me. I would have jumped up so fast. When I told my grandmother and cousin, that is when I learned about what happened to my aunt. My grandmother told me that it was just the wind. Stop being silly. But the bathroom window wasn't open, so I don't know what would have caused the draft. Graham is now gone, but my cousin still lives in that house, and to my knowledge, nothing else crazy has happened. I don't know. Maybe he was just checking in on us? I think so. I think he, like, 100% was just like, hey, what's up? I want to say hi. And when you asked if it was your grandma and then Rachel, you were like, he was like, nope, so I'm not going to close the door all the way because that's not who I am.
Third time the charm. That's
kind of sweet. It's like scary. I'd be terrified, but like also kind of sweet.
Yeah, because nothing like scary, crazy, dangerous happened.
Mean,
but it was just
yeah, like he didn't do anything bad.
I'm here, peekaboo.
Yeah. that's sweet. Thanks for sharing, Karen.
Yeah. So this one is also from Karen. She actually sent us 5 listener stories. So I tried to pick just a couple to share, but I wanted to share both of these because they were, I don't know, they were cute.
Awesome. And then maybe we can share, but interesting. Maybe we can share more of Karen's stories in another episode.
We will. We definitely will. She's got a couple more good ones.
All right. It seems like around this time of year, everyone is looking to revamp their eating habits. And one easy way to do that is with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. If you're like me and your goal is to eat healthier this year so you can just start feeling better, then you should check out HelloFresh's wholesome, health-forward options. They have over 30 calorie smart and protein smart recipes each week to choose from, and honestly, the meals are really good. Each HelloFresh box is packed with farm fresh ingredients, and everything arrives pre-portioned right to your doorstep, so that's less hassle and less wasted food.
Which is awesome because I'm the type of person who absolutely despises wasting food. It makes me crazy.
That's my husband too. And so he loves when we have HelloFresh boxes and just use everything that they give you.
Exactly. And not only that, but HelloFresh saves you so much time when it comes to dinner. So for me and my family and, you know, us being busy and having 3 kids, saving time is super important. Mm-hmm. I especially love their quick and easy meals, which I can typically have a delicious dinner ready for my family in about 20 minutes, which I don't know about y'all, sounds pretty awesome.
To try America's number one meal kit, go to HelloFresh.com/inhumanfree and use code inhumanfree for free breakfast for life. 1 breakfast item per box while subscription is active.
That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/inhumanfree with code inhumanfree.
Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey. And when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the 4th chapter and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
Okay, she says, I'm now listening to your 100th episode. Congrats, even though I'm still way behind.
Thank you.
And it reminded me of my true crime story. And I put that in quotes because I never think of it as true crime because I never thought of myself in any danger. This is also a longer one, so buckle up.
I also love your use of emojis. She put like the laughing, crying emoji. And yeah. Andrea and I use that emoji like a million times a day to each other. Maybe it's like the millennial in us, because I've heard that's like not cool anymore, but I love it.
Yeah, I know. Somebody like busted my balls on TikTok for using the crying face emoji when I was about something sad. Yeah. They're like, that's for laughing. And laughing? I'm like, they're not laughing in the emoji though. Like, what? No. Oh. Silly Gen Zers. I'm just an elder millennial. Sorry. A few years ago, I was at my mom's house for dinner in Portland, Maine. We were watching TV and got hooked on some random show, something about wild hog hunting in Florida and Texas.
What? That's so random.
I was going to say, that just sounds so Florida. And instead of leaving around 9 p.m., it was after 11 when I left. My car was old and my tires needed replacing. I had a slow leak, so I checked it before getting in, and yep, it was fairly flat. Uh-oh. I hadn't been able to find my tire pump, but I knew my mom had one in her car. Her car was parked outside the yard on the other side of the gate from my car, but where my car was directly under the streetlight, hers is a bit a ways from it. Still fairly well lit on the outside, but the inside wasn't, so I had to use the flashlight on my phone. I have fairly bad anxiety, so even though I was in the vehicle when my mom parked it outside the gate, I double-checked the license plate as I'm walking up. Yep, red SUV, correct license plate. I open the passenger door, and by flashlight, I see that it's trashed. There's papers and stuff all over the seat and floor. This jars me, as my mom's car is always clean.
Oh, gosh.
As I'm looking around by flashlight, I pan up to a man sitting in the driver's seat.
Oh, hell no.
What? Why? I started to apologize. I must have the wrong car. But no, I know this is my mom's car. I double checked after all. What are you doing? I demanded. I'm just sitting here, he responded.
Excuse me?
What are you doing in my mom's car? I asked again. I'm drunk and I'm just sitting here. Well, you can just sit there until the cops get here. He says, is that really necessary? And I respond, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting in a car that's not yours.
Yeah, that's alarming and weird. So I called 911 and spoke to the dispatcher, giving her the address and what was going on. While I'm speaking to her, he gets out of the car, comes around to the front, and is standing in front of me. I have the door in between us.
That's scary. I'd be like, even though he kind of seems like docile and not like angry or anything, that's still really scary.
He's drunk. So, I mean, unfortunately, drunk people are a little,
Yeah. And he's a stranger in
your mom's car.
That's not his. Like, ugh.
Yeah. The dispatcher asked for a description. I have the phone on speakerphone, so I use my flashlight to pan down him as I describe him. Taller than me, so maybe 5'8", dark brown hair, about ear length, gray t-shirt with some sort of Florida Bar logo on it, blue jeans.
Also, I love that you were like taller than me, so maybe 5'8", because I always think about that when people are like witnesses describe someone they saw and they're like, oh, this person was this height, and I'm like, I have no clue. Like, I'd probably be so off if somebody asked me for someone else's height.
I'm gonna be like, oh, and I'm tall, so
it's so confusing. Also, really funny side note, when Andrea and I met for the first time in person, we were with a couple of our other friends, and one of the first things, this was like 3 years into knowing each other, we finally met in person, and she was like, you guys are all really short.
I know, me and Julie are like video chatted, and then you guys were like really short,
really tiny. Yeah, we had video chatted, we had talked for so much, like seen each other over screen but never like in person where we were standing next to each other. I didn't expect you to be that tall either, so that was a weird experience.
Yeah, that's just not something that like, so how tall are you?
Yeah, anyway, just a really side note.
Yeah. So he asked again, is this really necessary? I say, yes, stand right there, stay. The dispatcher asks, is he standing there in front of you? I said, yep. Does he have a weapon? Not that I see, but I'm used to dealing with low lives at work, and I have pepper spray. So if he tries anything, I spray him.
Applause.
Yeah. And she said that in front of him, which is hilarious. I had my neon pink pepper spray canister in my other hand, and I'm clicking the little button menacingly. Dispatch let me know that the police were on their way, and we stood there and waited for them. I also texted my mom. Hey, someone broke into your car. Cops are on the way. She came out about the same time the cops got there. I pushed her to press charges, and they told us afterwards they couldn't tell us beforehand to sway our decision that there had been a number of car break-ins in the area. He had glass breaking tools in his backpack, and he had a criminal record for breaking into cars. Repeat offender.
Okay, so he wasn't just accidentally, like, in his drunken state, broke into the car.
They loaded him into a car, and everyone but the first cop left. He took my statement, and then he said to me, they sent me and my canine as the first responders, expecting him to run. Why do you think he didn't run? Without even thinking about it, I said, I am a driver and bouncer for exotic dancers for private bachelor parties. I use my Dom voice on him. And he's a little sissy sub and listened.
Oh my God. I freaking love that you said that.
Is that true? Are you really? I need some stories from that experience if that's true.
Whether it's true or not, I freaking love that that's hilarious. What you responded with.
My mom groaned and turned away. The cop blinked at me a few times, clicked his pen closed, thanked me, and left.
I love you, Karen. This is great.
I can't wait to share more of your stories. Thank you so much for sending that in. That is hilarious. I love that. I'm glad that, like, he didn't try to,
There was, like, nothing bad that happened. But, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Our next story is from Eden. Hey, guys. My name is Eden, and I recently discovered your guys' podcast while researching the Cleveland kidnappings and got hooked. Well, thank you. And hello, Eden.
Yeah.
I just finished episode 199 about Daisy Coleman and felt compelled to share my story with y'all. It's not easy to share, but hearing you guys speak about sexual assault and how passionate you two are for survivors really inspired me. So trigger warning, rape and grooming. Mm-hmm. Before I even get into it, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing with us. And I know it can't be easy, and I'm so sorry for whatever happened to you. But we appreciate you speaking out and sharing your story.
Trusting us to share your story,
Yeah. When I was 14, I met a 19-year-old man on Facebook. I had just gone through a friend breakup with my best friend and felt pretty isolated and lonely. So me and this guy would talk often.
Eventually, sorry. I was just going to say, can we just talk for a minute about best friend breakups? Because no one talks about how difficult those are and how much they can hurt, sometimes worse than a boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other breakup. And
eventually he walked across town to visit me at school. I've always been afraid of getting in trouble, but he guilted me into skipping class to hang out with him. This is just so typical of, like, older man preying on your vulnerability,
gaslighting the shit out of you to get you to do what he wants.
He ended up walking me home after school, and in the field across from my house, he pushed me down and raped me.
That is awful. I'm so, so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I had recently confided in him about being sexually assaulted at school and how the trial went, and I just couldn't believe what he was doing to me. I had trusted him, so I lied to myself and followed along with his story that it was consensual. We ended up in a manipulative and emotionally abusive relationship. He would love bomb me and then berate me if I didn't want to see him or sneak out for him. He once told me it wasn't worth it to see me if we weren't going to have sex, and coerced me into it multiple times over the course of 2 years. It wasn't until I was 19 and he was trying to be my friend that it dawned on me that I would never be romantically interested in a 14-year-old, and connected all the dots that what he did was wrong. At the time, I thought the statute of limitations was up. Why do we have a statute of limitations on rape? So I didn't pursue justice.
Yeah, that's a damn good question.
there, like, it makes zero sense. There should not be reason.
There should not be a statute of limitations at all. No. On really anything.
No, and you're so right. When you hit the age of 19 and you were like, wait, I would never feel like that. Yeah. And when you're underage, you are not able to consent. So no matter what, if somebody older than you is trying to do that, you can't consent.
Right. Which is why young people should not have sex. But, you know, that's not everybody's reality, unfortunately.
Yeah. You were being manipulated and coerced. And
yeah.
I can relate. My situation was not this intense and dire, but I can absolutely relate to that.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, I discovered he was working as a high school teacher.
Sickening. Oh my God.
And was horrified and absolutely fearful for his female students.
Mm.
I wasn't the first girl he victimized, and I'm sure I'm not his last. With the help of a survivor nonprofit, I reached out to the school district he was working for, and they started an investigation. Wow, that's amazing that they actually, like, started
believed an investigation. You and,
yeah. It was then I was told that the statute of limitations wasn't up and encouraged to pursue charges. So I did. It was a painful and long process of police interviews, and the detective I was working with had very little confidence that charges would be filed. But still, he recommended it to the district attorney where I live. Along with this recommendation from the detective, I handed over Facebook messages with his name and picture attached, where he admitted what he had done to me.
Wow.
I was on vacation when I got the letter stating there wasn't enough evidence.
No.
Are you kidding me? You had proof.
Based on what? Yeah. What the fuck?
Exactly 1 year ago today, at the time I'm sending this, he resigned from his position as a teacher.
Hell yeah.
Okay, well, at least that came out of it. You know, he didn't get actual justice, but at least, like, he was forced out of that job where he could easily prey on more victims.
That makes his disgusting, probably, habit a little harder.
Yeah. Shortly after I spoke with the DA on the phone, which I recorded in case I missed anything, she told me a gentleman in her office determined it was a bad breakup and no force was used, in contradiction with my many statements to police. I called
serious?
This out for her, and she said they would reopen my case and look into it again. So one of the detectives or one of the people on the case was basically like, no, it's just a bad breakup. Like, probably thinking like, oh, this person's over exaggerating.
That is so sick. Like, first of all, if you're a man, or I won't say any man, but if you haven't gone through this as a woman, you just don't have a right to say anything.
I agree. This was in February of 2023. It is now December, and I have heard nothing despite sending numerous emails and calling several times asking for updates or a final decision. I don't know if I'll ever truly get justice, and in truth, all I really want is his name on the sex offender registry so he doesn't have access to other vulnerable teens. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. I suffer from severe PTSD, nightmares, insomnia, and depression as a direct result of this. I've spent thousands in hospital visits and in therapy just trying to keep myself alive and fighting.
No, I just want to give you a hug.
I know. And the fact that you pursued charges and are doing this to help others, even though I'm sure it is extremely difficult to relive it all and go through all of it, but you're still fighting is incredibly strong, and I commend you.
I do too.
I know this isn't the most positive story, but I just want someone to hear my story and take me seriously. I just want to be believed, and I want other survivors to know they aren't alone. I want them to know that it's worth it to keep fighting, even when it feels impossible. Thank you for reading and hopefully sharing my story, Eden. Wow, Eden. First of all, I want to say we believe you. We hear you. We
support you.
Support you. You are so incredibly strong for sharing your story, and I'm so sorry for what you went through. But I seriously
keep
am
fighting.
So proud of you. Yeah.
I know it takes everything you have out of you, but, you know, they are hoping that you'll just go away. They're just hoping that the enough time will pass and you'll just give up and go away. And just if
and
you,
you
have it in you, just keep fighting. Keep fighting.
You don't know how many lives you're saving. by.
You've already saved so many by getting him to quit.
Leave his job. So thank you so much for sharing and trusting us to share your story. And I hope that it was at least somewhat healing, and just know that we hear you, we see you, we're proud of you.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is from Anna. Hello. I tried to submit my listener story on the website, but kept getting a message that the link couldn't be found, which I know was an issue mid-year last year, but I think that has hopefully since been resolved.
I think it got fixed, but then some people were still having the issue. So I've actually had it on my to-do list to check with our website host and make sure that it's fixed.
Yeah.
But in case you ever try to submit one, you can always email your story to us.
Exactly. So I thought I would submit it this way. I have a couple of spookier ones. This was when I was living in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, which is outside of Albuquerque. I was about 16. I had woken up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. It was about midnight. I turned off the light to the bathroom and stood there for a second so my eyes could adjust to the dark again. This is when I saw a glow coming from my parents' bedroom. I thought one of them was up looking at their phone. So I went over to the door and ended up seeing a little girl. I would guess she was 8 or 9. She was sitting on the edge of the bed on my dad's side, so her back was to me. She had long, dark hair and was wearing a white dress and was white looking with the glow. Her head was down and her hands were in her lap. I stood there wondering why a girl was sitting there. I think she knew I was standing in the doorway and started to turn her head to look at me. Ugh. That's like,
that is so freaking creepy.
Yeah, that's like creeping me out. It reminds me of like The Ring for some reason.
Ugh.
I saw a little bit of the side of her face as she started to look like the girl from The Ring movie. I didn't even read that far, but okay. I freaked out and sped walk back to my room to get into bed. She didn't do anything beyond turning her head to look at me. Thank God for that. I told my mom about it, and she said maybe it was Paula, my dad's youngest sister, who had passed when she was 4. Oh my gosh. I told her she was too old to be Paula. I then told my dad about it a day or two later, I believe. He's a skeptic of the paranormal, but looked at me a little wide-eyed and told me he was awake at the same time and said he couldn't move. Oh shit.
So there was something there.
This. I don't know how long that girl was on the bed before I saw her after, but I never saw her again. One person thinks it was a dream, but I know what I saw, and it was real.
Yeah, I believe you, and I feel like you know, like you can tell when it's real.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, there's times when I wake up from dreams and I'm like, whoa, that was real. And then I'm like, okay, no, it wasn't. I was asleep.
Right.
But never like
so scary.
Being awake and being like, am I dreaming? You know, like, I don't know why people say that, because that's like not really a reality, I feel like.
No.
Another paranormal story I have is in New Mexico again. It was a couple of years later, at least when I was 18. It was in the early hours, I think about 3 a.m. And I was up. I was laying in bed trying to get back to sleep when I felt like someone was laying next to me. And a hand got onto my arm.
Oh, hell no.
I freaked out and jumped out of bed to the other side of the room. My bed was in the corner of my bedroom. There was no one there. Later that day, I was in school and my mom came to get me to tell me that my grandfather had passed away.
Aww, oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. I believe that he came to see me one last time.
100%.
On his way.
Yeah. Oh.
A week or two later, the same thing happened around the same time, 3 a.m. It was the day of my high school graduation. I didn't feel scared because I believe it was my grandfather who came to say congratulations. It was comforting.
Yeah.
I told people about it, and there were skeptics who don't think it happened and those who did. I know what I felt, and it was awesome.
Aww. I love that he was there for you.
Yeah. To this day, on occasion, I get feelings like a relative or close friend who has passed is there with me when I'm home alone, and they'll show up in my dreams as well. Aww. That's a really sweet story. Spooky. What happened to your dad? A little bit. Especially because, like, sleep paralysis, like, scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too. It's so freaky.
I hope and pray it never, ever, ever happens to me. But that's so weird that it did happen to your dad. And at the same time, you were witnessing a little girl something. Sitting on the bed beside him, like, making him not be able to move. That's so creepy. But thank you, Anna or Anna, so much for sending that in.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Anna. I'm thoroughly freaked out, but also that's really sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we had a couple more stories, but I don't know if you can tell, but my baby is losing his mind. So we are going to end that here and start off next month's listener episode with the next stories that we had for today.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Like Kaylee said, we will have a brand new listener stories for you guys next month.
And I apologize for my baby. If you heard him, I am working on figuring out a better system, but right now he only naps for like 30 minutes at a time and loses his mind if I'm not holding him. So yeah. I appreciate your guys' patience and understanding, and thank you for listening. Thank you for submitting these stories. Like, I freaking love these stories, and it means so much that you guys share your stories with us.
Yeah, and thank you to our patrons for supporting us, and we hope you enjoyed this video, and until next time, keep it human.
Bye, guys.